Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Leap of Faith with Penina Taylor.
Hi, everybody. This is Penina Taylor, and you're listening to Leap of Faith, an inspirational program about spiritual journeys. Today, we're going to be hearing an incredibly inspirational spiritual journey, one that is so incredible, we actually had a hard time cutting it down to fit into our time frame. But we did it, and I am so excited to be sharing my very special guest, Malka Shifra Golani, with you today. When I think back to my own spiritual journey, I remember the moment after I came back to Judaism that I realized that I had just given up everything I was in my search for the truth. I was a pastor's wife. I was a worship leader. I was a Bible study leader. I was the prayer ministry leader. And I was also on the deaf ministry and a variety of other ministries. I was active and I was busy. But the one word all of those jobs have in common is the word leader. I was a leader and a teacher, and was often asked to be the keynote speaker at conferences and events. I was a somebody. But the moment I gave that up and came back to Judaism, I suddenly became a nobody. I went from being a person who was respected for her knowledge and experience, a person that people went to for guidance and instruction. But when I came back to Judaism, I was no longer a leader. I was someone who knew nearly nothing. I was back to square one, and that was a very painful place to be. I had spent my whole life trying to become a somebody, and I had made it. And now I was back to being a nobody. But what I didn't realize in that very painful moment was that I had received one of the greatest gifts I could have been given, the gift of being a nobody. That's because many times our somebody-ness gets in the way of us seeing the truth and connecting with God and with who we really are inside. It gets in the way of us discovering the real somebody we were meant to be. But the moment we become a nobody, there's nothing obscuring our vision, and we can finally see things with a clarity that our somebody just couldn't. We can finally see the truth. Well, today, my very special guest, Malka Shifra, is going to share with us her journey as a nobody, just searching for truth, and how she found that truth. But you'll have to wait until after this short break. You're listening to Leap of Faith. I'm Penina Taylor, and we'll be right back.
Israel is located in one of the most volatile areas in the world. Israel is an island of stability in a sea of war and unrest. In the midst of this turmoil, Israel stands out as a beacon of order and human progress. Each week we update you on what's happening in this, the Jewish state, a true light unto the nations. This is Jay Shapiro. Join me every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
Leap of Faith with Penina Taylor.
Okay, welcome back. You're listening to Leap of Faith. I'm your host, Penina Taylor, and today I have a very special guest with me. Her name is Malka Shifra, and she's coming to you from Israel. She has a very interesting story. I'm so excited to have her share it with you. And so I'm not even going to tell you anything about her. I'm going to let her introduce herself. Welcome to the program, Malka. I am so excited to have you.
Thank you so much. I'm such honored to be in your show. So honored.
All right. Well, why don't we get started? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, currently I'm living in Beitar in Israel. I made Aliyah about a year ago in August. Actually, it was the first year mark. And it's just been amazing. The experience living here in Israel has just been so amazing. I'm just enjoying the time that I'm here. And of course, this is where I'm staying. I'm not going anywhere. And I'm just enjoying it, the culture, the food, the everything. It's just so amazing.
So, but you come from a very different culture, right? Tell us about your upbringing.
So I come from a very, I do come from a Sephardic background. Both my parents are Cuban. And I grew up in a very strong Cuban home. So despite that my parents did immigrate from Cuba during the time that Fidel Castro took over Cuba and started making it into a communist country, both my parents had to fight against the revolution, and they ended up coming to America. Due to that, their lives were at stake. And there's a whole lot more to the story, but that's where the book comes in, and that's where the book will explain a little bit more about the history. But coming to America, my parents always kept us to our Cuban traditions, our Cuban upbringing. My Spanish is as clear as is my English. And, you know, we had our Cuban dishes and music and dancing. Also, I come from a different religion. It's called Santeria. And it's something so, so different than any other common religion like Christianity or any other religion that you can think of. It's just so bizarre, so crazy.
So what is Santeria based on?
It's actually on a Vodazora. It's based on idol worship. And everywhere I walked in my house, all I had was idols. Idols, idols, idols. Everywhere, behind the doors, just you name it, they're there. And I grew up with a particular one that was a 7-foot idol in the house. And my mother, she used to sew capes for it. And in the religion, we also kept the carbanos. We did the animal sacrifices, incense offerings, the new moon sacrifices, incense offering. Everything was so the same like in Judaism. And I often wonder, how did it even came about to even do such a thing? And I did a little digging, and I found out that the tribe of Dan was actually in Ethiopia. And that's where this religion originally comes from, is from Ethiopia.
Now, my understanding is that Santeria is kind of like a combination of voodoo and Catholicism. Is that correct?
Correct. So the African slaves, they brought it to Cuba. And because Cuba is reign more Catholicism, like you said, they kind of mixed it together. But they were sacrificing animals onto idols. So that's what my mom was doing. She was sacrificing animals onto idols. And
we're talking about real animal sacrifice, folks. Having grown up in Miami, I had some exposure to Santeria. And I remember dead chickens in people's yards and stuff like that. We're talking real animal sacrifice, not symbolic.
And goats and lambs and you name it, the whole thing. So as soon as I hit 6, it's like my brain started waking up and asking so many questions as to what are all these still wooden ceramic images doing. And it's funny because I later found out that I was actually reciting Psalms, I believe it's 115, where it talks about where they have eyes and they cannot see and they have hands and cannot touch. So one day I stood up in front of my mom's 7-foot idol and I asked it. I was looking deeply into his eyes and I would ask him, can you move your eyes? Can you wink at me? Let me see that you're real. Show me something or move, or why aren't you eating these foods that my mom prepares for you? And of course I didn't get answers. So over time I would mock her idols. I would just stand in front of them and, you know, like over in Buckingham Palace, when you stand in front of those soldiers and you just make, you do all these things to see if they would move. Well, that's what I would do with my mom's idols, just to get them to move so that I can believe that they're real. But they never did.
Do you think that your mom actually believed that they were real gods, or did she think that they were a representation of something?
She believed the power in them. Because I've come to learn in Judaism that where there is a lot of Kedusha, there is also Tumah. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, even though today it's lesser than when I was a kid, because every day that we move forward, we're moving towards the building of the temple. So back when I was growing up, that Tumah was very big. And a lot of people say today that Avodah Zorah doesn't really exist, that it doesn't have the power that it has. And unfortunately, I can say for sure that that is totally not true, because I've seen it offhand how her idols did have power, because there was one time where it really showed to me that it does have power. And I learned this a couple of parshas ago when Rachel stole her dad's idols, and she later threw them into her, you know, she had them inside the saddle of her camel and had it in her tent. And I kept wondering, why would she want to steal his idols? I don't get it. Why not ditch him on the way out or something? So I later found out that, well, you would have to look at it in Medrash, but I have to take you back to what happened to me with my mother. There was one particular time where my mom was celebrating the day of her feast of her birthday for her idols. And all her idols were lavished underneath a throne. And the one strong idol out of all of them, I stood up to it. And that day I stood up to it and I told them, hey, you, show me something. You know, give me a sign that you really exist. Boy, oh boy, did I get it later. So I walked away, of course. Yeah, whatever. He didn't show me anything. So I walked away later. And at the end of the feast, they throw these symbol things called like casting lots. Like you're casting lots when back in biblical time, people casted lots to talk to Hashem. So in this religion, that's what they do. They cast lots and they ask these idols if it was acceptable, the party. And it said yes in one of those throwing casting lots, but something came up that the high priest noticed that there was something bothering the idol. So they had to get more strictly into asking more intense questions to find out. And they started asking, well, was the food not prepared right? Was there something going on? Was this, was it that? Was it somebody who disobeyed you? And it said, yes. So they took everybody in the household and put them right in front of the idol. And they started from the oldest to the youngest. And there were six siblings at the time present. So they went down the line asking and asking and asking. When it got to me, it said yes. It said no to everybody. It said yes to me.
Wow.
So I'm like, uh-oh. I wasn't even scared. I'm like, uh-oh. So then my mom looked at me and she says, what did you do? And I'm like, I was asking your idol if he's real. I want to know how true he is. And she's like, you have no idea what you just did. So of course I got in trouble, got the spanking of my life, got sent to bed. And the next day they had to sacrifice an animal to do a sin offering. And a goat was slaughtered on my behalf. And this is where I always talk to the people when I speak to them. And I tell them, today we only read about korbanos because we don't have a temple. We don't know anything about sacrificing animals personal to personal in those things. I do. I can relate to it because I've had innocent animals die on my behalf. And I've actually seen the sacrifice itself. So that's very, very traumatizing for me to see a poor animal get slaughtered and not in a kosher way. So that's another story to tell. But anyways, moving forward, so I got sent to bed and that was the end of it. And I kind of laid low for a while, but I still mocked them as much as I could. And because of that, I was prone to being physically abused by my father and emotionally and mentally abused by my mother. So you could call me like the sheep, black sheep of the family. And it's interesting because the four siblings that were born in America, three of them were actually called by biblical names in the New Testament: Paul, Elizabeth, and Jesus, Jesus. And I was the only one who wasn't called a biblical name. So it's like Hashem already had it. I'd try to set me apart per se, because my English name is Olga, which is a Russian name. It has nothing to do with biblical names. So I thought that was kind of funny growing up. I'm like, okay, so I'm the black sheep of the family, and accepted it. And I'm like, okay, I am a unique person. I stand up a lot in what I believe in. So as I was growing up, I started thinking about my spiritual walk. You know, where is my life leading me? What was I created for?
You indeed have been set apart for a very special purpose. Malka Shipra, I am sitting on the edge of my seat. I can't wait to hear the rest of your story. But right now, unfortunately, we have to go to a break. So we're going to go to our first break. Everybody hang on there. We've got a lot more waiting for us ahead. You're listening to Leap of Faith, and we'll be right back after this.
The Tamar Yonah Show.
Tamar, she's sassy.
She's smart.
She's funny.
But she's also a real Jewish mother.
Hi, everybody. I'm Tamar Yonah. And yes, I can be all of those things. But at Israel News Talk Radio, I'm here to bring you the news stories and guests that you may not hear anywhere else. Join me live on air Sundays, Mondays, and Tuesdays for the most unique and bold talk radio in Israel.
The Tamar Yonah Show.
Leap of Faith with Penina Taylor.
Okay, and we're back from the break. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to Leap of Faith. I'm Penina Taylor, and we're talking today with Malka Shifra, who has an incredible story for us about her journey from the religion called Santeria to Judaism. And so when we last broke, Malka Shifra was telling us about how she was beginning to wonder about her own spiritual calling and her own spiritual journey. And so I'm just going to let Malka Shifra continue with her story. Welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you. Good to be here. So I started to ask myself, because of all the my mom's idols and the abuse that I was receiving, I said to myself, was I created for this? Was I created to be treated like this? And I'm like, there's got to be something bigger and major out there that I need to know. I need to find out. So growing up and becoming a young adult into adult, this question lingered in my soul. I mean, it was so deep into my soul. So as soon as I turned 18, I left the house. And I was so glad to be gone. And I got married right away. And I had three children. And in the midst of that marriage, I was having some spiritual awakening. And I was seeking. I was so hungry. I'm like, there's got to be something more. So I had a sister who was going to a Christian church. And this was the first time ever that Christianity was presented to me. And she says, would you like to come to church? And I said, okay, what is it? And she's like, come and see for yourself. I said, okay. So I started going to the Christian church. And right away, the minute I walked in through the door, everybody started greeting me and was so welcoming. And they gave me a Bible. And they said, we want you to read this and commune with us and do this and do that. And I'm like, okay, okay. So I started going to the Bible study classes. I started going to Sunday school classes. And the more I started learning, the more the church was teaching me, the more questions I started asking. Because really, I was drawn more to what they called the Old Testament. And I was very drawn into the more, to narrow it down, and more particularly to Shmos, Exodus. I was so, like, I was there. I mean, I feel like I was there. I was having this tug inside of me, this pull inside of me, and I wanted to know. I was hungry and hungry and hungry, and I was learning so much that I started asking the church questions, that why does the New Testament say this, and why is it that the Old Testament is not, why aren't we holding it to the Old Testament? And they were telling me, no, you know, we're the new church, we're born again, and we're under the new church, and this and this and that. And I'm like,
yeah, they don't like those questions, do they?
No, you should have seen. I was sent to the office and the pastor like a child so many times. And the pastor would tell me, what is wrong with you? And this and this and that. And you need to submit to your husband. And he's the head of the household. And you need to submit to the Bible and listen to the church. And I'm like, but I got a mind of my own. I think I need to know what's going on. And he's like, you know, Satan, get behind her. He's sifting you. They would tell me all these things. So eventually what happened was that because we had to go to church on Sundays, Saturdays, I kept it to myself. I didn't do any work whatsoever. What I did was I started dedicating to learning on my own. So At the time, I lived in this kind of like a log, a cabin home, because I was living in Texas. So my closet was a walk-in closet. It was huge. I could have a chair in there, a desk, whatever. So I would go in there and I would start to read the Bible and I would start to ask God, please share with me what is going on over here. And since we didn't have the oral law, I didn't have the commentaries, I didn't have anything, I didn't know. So all I could go was based on davening, praying, asking Hashem, please show me, tell me. So over time, this didn't happen overnight, over a period of time, something spiritual started happening to me. There was an instant where I would pick up the Bible and something was telling me, you need to wash your hands. I'm like, need to wash my hands? I just did with soap and water. What are you talking about? So it's like I'm fighting within myself. And I felt my hands impure. I felt them so impure. And I'm like, what is going on? I don't get this. And another time, I felt that I was feeling immodest and that I needed to cover myself because I'm before a king. That's how I felt. So I started getting like a blanket or a towel and I started wrapping myself in it and I felt more, how do I say, modest. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, I really like this. And I was feeling even more connected to God. I felt like I was like, okay, I'm dressed properly. So now I can come before him and talk to him even more. So, and then another time, something else happened. It was like 4:30 in the morning. I remember because I would wake up really early to start praying before I go to work. And something told me, you need to pray out of a book. And I'm like, praying out of a book? I don't understand. So I went to the church and I asked them, hey, is there a particular book that I need to be praying out of? Oh, yeah, just use Psalms. That wasn't enough for me. I'm like, no, there's got to be more. There's got to be more to this. Okay, so I kind of put it in the back burner, but it was lingering inside of me.
It's interesting that you said that that they directed you to pray from the book of Psalms, which in Hebrew is Tehillim, because there is, of course, in addition to the Jewish prayer book, there is the custom that when we are in times of great tragedy or great need or stress, right? When we're praying for somebody right. to get healing, what do? We pray from Tehillim. We pray the Psalms.
That's right. So, you know, and then there was the time where family law kicked in. I was separating myself from my husband. I don't want to get too into it, but right. I started separating in those days. And he started questioning me. He's like, what is wrong with you? You're changing. We're talking about a woman who lives in the country, who has 19-acre property, who has a truck and a trailer and a horse, and I'm the tomboy that you can think of, because that's how I grew up. I was very tomboyish. I never liked girl stuff. I never liked skirts and high heels and this and this and that. So for him to see me from changing from boots and jeans and a t-shirt to skirts and dressing more modest and also covering my hair, he's like, what is going on with you? So this started causing some questions stress. In my marriage and stress, yes. And keep in mind, I was married for 25 years when it all came to the end. And even in my school, I mean, people were just like wondering what was wrong with me because I'm a school teacher. I teach Montessori. I've been doing it for 18 years. And the parents would go into the office and start asking my boss, is everything okay with Michael Schiffer? You know, they called me by my previous name. Is she okay? She's wrapping her hair. Is she ill? Is she whatever? So I was called into the office and my boss asked me, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, why not? And she's like, you're covering your head. Do you have something going on? And I'm like, no. And she's like, the parents are asking, are you sick? Are you ill? Do you have cancer? God forbid. No. I told her, no. I'm just going through some things. Don't worry. I'll be fine. So she's like, okay, know that we're here. And that's another story in its own, which I have to really cut short. So anyways, I kept keeping my Saturdays. And before you knew it, here comes the secular holidays, Christmas, Easter. I mean, all of these secular holidays, for some reason, I just stopped observing them. I stopped observing them. And my children were asking me, Mom, are you okay? Is everything okay? I said, yes, I just don't feel that God isn't into any of this. I don't feel him in it. You know, especially for Christmas when we're putting up a tree and we're decorating it. I'm asking myself, where is God in this? You know, they talk about this Jesus, but do you know what? I see that Jesus like an idol. And as a matter of fact, I even yelled at the church and I even told them, God says, don't make him into an image. During Easter time, why are you guys putting him on the cross when he says, don't make him into an image? I can't stand idleness. I cannot stand it. Where it is, I cannot stand. So I started back, arguing with the church, So finally, I walked away. I walked away from the church. One day, I just stopped coming. And over time, it stopped coming. And people were calling me. They were text messaging me. They would come and visit me. And they would say that I'm going off the derrick. You know, right. that I was being lawless and this and this and that I was losing my salvation. And I looked at them and I told them, listen, and I told the pastor this and I told them, I have to answer to one person. And that's the one, the God who stood at Mount Sinai and gave us the commandments. I cannot follow some guy who is starting up his own religion and taking people away from what God said at Mount Sinai. And they were all just like with their mouth open. They didn't know what to say. They didn't know how to get back to me on this. And they told me, you've lost it. You have totally lost it. So I'm like, I'm sorry. So, and then this caused problems in my marriage. And then obviously in the end, we part ways. And by then I had two children who were already of age. They were married and away from the home. And it was just a younger child who was staying at the house. So I had to make a decision with him as to, do I take him with me on this crazy walk that I'm going through, or do I leave him at home with this father where he has consistent in his life? And this was very hard for me, and I had to make that choice, and so did he. And he told me, Mom, I don't know what to do. I want to stay as a Christian. So I had to accept that because I couldn't take him on this blind faith that I'm walking on this no answer for any of the, what I was going through, because I didn't have answers. And I told him that's fine. So we got his father and I, we got divorced. I got an apartment of my own and life continued. I will visit my son, take him out, whatever. And then I had all my friends on Facebook who were Christians. I finally got rid of them. Okay, so I started exploring another group in Facebook, and it was a Messianic movement. Now, I didn't know who they were at the time. It's just that some of the questions that I had, they did have some answers, but it wasn't what I needed.
Okay, unfortunately, I have to interrupt you right now, Malka Schiffer, again, and we're all just holding our breath, waiting to hear how this concludes, but unfortunately, we're out of time for this segment, so now it's time for us to go to a short break. But we'll be right back after this.
In a time where feelings have become fact, where rational thought and common sense has disappeared, one man stands above it all.
I'm Howie Sobeker, your political hitman.
Political Hitman airs every Tuesday at 11:59 p.m. North American time, 7 a.m. Israeli time, only on Israel News Talk Radio.
Are you interested in transforming your life, drawing closer to the Creator, and uncovering the deeper meanings and hidden treasures in the Hebrew Bible?
Then join me, Rav Yitzhak Michelson.
And me, William Hall.
On The Science of Kabbalah, where we are seeking to narrow the gap between what we understand of our physical and spiritual worlds. So make sure to tune in every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Israel time, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Leap of Faith with Penina Taylor.
Okay, well, I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen, but I am just absolutely chomping at the bit to find out the rest of the story. Welcome back to our last segment of Leap of Faith. I'm Penina Taylor, and I'm here with my very special guest, Malka Schiffer, who is sharing her incredible spiritual journey to Judaism. And when last we left off, Malka Schiffer, you were telling us about how you had discovered the Messianic group on Facebook.
Yes.
So let's continue.
Yes,
with
thank you. Yes. Yeah, so I found out about this Messianic group on Facebook, and I started asking a lot of questions, and they kind of answered some, but it wasn't what I was looking for. So I met a special person during this time, and he helped me to understand a little bit about Messianic and understand the movement. And long story short, I got to meet him, and over time, we developed a relationship, and we got married. And we started going over to his temple. I really don't like to call it synagogue, so I'll call it the temple. So we were going to his temple, and I noticed that they were still holding some Christianity in it. I started observing that they were calling this guy with a Jewish name, but it was still to me like Christianity. And I'm like, wait a minute here. They're still idoling some guy. I don't get it. So going back, when we went home, I kind of confronted my husband about it, and I told him, you know, I don't understand what's going on with the Messianic movement, but I feel that they're still doing a Avodah Zorah by idoling some guy, only they put a Jewish name onto him. And he says, well, how do you know this? And I said, well, you know, in Devarim, in Deuteronomy, Hashem says that he would send a false prophet, that he would test his people. And this person that he was going to send would do signs and wonders and make miracles. And I told him, what if it's this guy? So he kind of like, okay, so maybe you're onto something about this, because he was also questioning. He just didn't have, he needed somebody to bump him along the road to help him to get to where we're at today. So we started asking questions on Facebook, and lo and behold, they start accusing us of listening to Rabbi Skolback and also Rabbi Tovia Singer.
Right. So both, for those who don't know, Rabbi Skolback runs an organization in Toronto called Jews for Judaism, which, if you heard my story, of course, you know that I was involved in Jews for Judaism. But Rabbi Tovia Singer, who is a friend of mine, is also a counter-missionary. He works to teach people about the problems with various forms of Christianity. So the people on Facebook were accusing you of being in cahoots with Rabbi Skolback and Rabbi Singer.
Right. So we sat down one day, and we took our laptop, and we went on YouTube, and we started watching Rabbi Skolback's teachings and also Tovia Singer, and our jaws just hit to the floor. We're like, oh my gosh. So eventually that's what helped us to get out of Messianic Judaism. We bought the book, Let's Get Biblical, and my husband studied it very thoroughly. And he's like, okay, so you're onto something. So the next stage of our life was, okay, so where do we go from here? What do we do? Mm-hmm. And because I've never heard of Jews, I've never heard of Israel, I never heard of any of this. You know, growing up, coming from where I come from, I've never heard of anybody. At least he had some contact with these people, but I didn't. So he says, well, we can go to three places, Reform, Conservative, and the last one, I'm going to leave it to the end. And I'm like, okay. So he says, it's an Orthodox shul. When he said Orthodox shul, it's like something hit me deep inside. And I'm like, oh, I like that sound, that name. And he says, well, let's try first the other ones. So we went through the stages. We went to Reform, didn't work. We went to Conservative, it didn't work. I was not pleased with it. And he was asking me, but why? I don't understand. And I told him, look, it was, I'm just, something inside of me is not clicking with these people. We need to keep going. So we ended up going to Chabad Shul in Florida. And that's when I really got to know what Judaism was all about. And I got to meet the rabbi there. And I was already keeping modesty. So when the rabbi saw me, he was very excited. He thought I was Israeli. He thought I come from Israel because I'm dark-skinned and I look very Israeli. And this lady next to her husband, the husband moved away, and she had me come over and sit next to her, and she looked over at me and she says, are you Israeli? And I looked at her and I said, what is that? And she's like, people from Israel. I'm like, no, I'm just nobody looking for truth. And all she did was look up into the heavens and says, they're coming home. And I looked at her and I'm like, what do you mean? And so she says, I'll talk to you about it later.
I like that. I want to dwell on that for just 10 seconds. I'm just a nobody who's looking for truth. That is so, so special. Just a nobody looking for truth. Wow.
No, seriously. I mean, I am, and I still consider myself to this day, you know, after all the trials that I've been through. Hopefully, God willing, when the book comes out, the viewers, the listeners, they'll be able to see exactly what I had to go through. And right. I asked myself, Hashem, why me? When I used to go through everything, I would say, why me? Now I say, why not me? He used me to get me to where I needed to get to. So whatever he did, it was all for the good. I can't question him anymore. You know, I just can't.
Right.
So we went to the Chabad Shul for a year, and that's when we decided to convert, and we went through the conversion process.
Was there one watershed moment, one particular thing that spoke to you that said, this is the truth, I've got the truth?
Yes. So when we were going to the Chabad, I made an appointment with the Rebbetzin, and I told her, I need to talk to you because I have questions that no one has been able to answer for me. And she says, okay, well, make an appointment and I'll see you. So the appointment came, I went to see her, and that's when I asked her, can you please tell me, what is this about my hands that I feel like my hands are not clean? And she explained to me, and she told me, it's actually a spiritual hand washing. We call it Netiyat Laredim. And I'm like, what? And she said, yes. And I'm like, are you telling me this exists? I'm not a schizophrenic. I'm not hearing voices in my head. And she said, no. And I'm like, and what about a book that I'm supposed to pray out of? She took the Chabad book from the shelf, and she brought it to me, and she put it in my hand, and I looked at it, and I'm rummaging through the pages, and as I looked at it, I looked at her, and I told her, what is this? And she says, it's a siddur. This is where we daven from. I fell to the ground, and I started to cry. I still do to this day. And I said to myself, I'm finally home.
Wow.
Finally home. And she says, how did you know all of this? And I told her, I don't. Something inside of me was telling me. And she says, that's your neshama. And I said, what's a neshama? And she says, that's your soul. And I said, but why? Why? I don't understand. And she says, you are an old neshama, and it's returning. It's waking up. So that's what's been guiding you.
Right, because there's a Jewish understanding that people who convert doing so because they actually possess within their non-Jewish body a Jewish soul who part of its job in this world is to make its way back to Judaism and to connect back with the Jewish people. And so your Jewish soul that was inside this Cuban Santeria body was guiding you back home. Wow.
Yes, it's the age of six. It's unbelievable. And what you were saying is so true, because that's why when I was reading Shemos, when I was reading Exodus, I felt like I was there. I mean, every time I read it, and I read it so many times, I can feel the footsteps. I can hear the women singing. I can hear everything that was going on. It's like my neshama was having that inner connection with that. And so I knew that I was back home.
Wow. Okay, Malka Schiffer, we are almost out of time. You have shared with us such an incredible journey. Is there any one last thing that you would like to say to anybody who might be experiencing something even remotely similar to what you went through?
I tell them to never give up, to keep davening, to keep praying, because you know what? Hashem hears us, and he listens to those humble hearts and those neshamas that really, really seek out to search him. And I tell you, you cannot go wrong with prayers. Even our matriarchs and our patriarchs, through davening, they've shown us that Hashem listens. He listens to us. We just have to seek him wholeheartedly. Don't give up.
Wow. You are an incredibly inspirational person. Thank you so much, Malka Schiffer, for sharing your journey with us. And my understanding is that you are currently writing a book, and that you are actually speaking, that you speak to local seminaries. And I'm assuming that you would also travel to other places to speak if they wanted you to. If somebody wants to get in contact with you, how do they do that?
They can contact me at malkashifra67@yahoo.com.
So let's spell that for everybody. That's M-A-L-K-A.
K-A, uh-huh. Shifra, S-H-I-F-R-A, 6767 at yahoo.com.
Okay, awesome. All right, well, unfortunately, we're out of time for this week, but I'd like to thank Malka Shifra so much for such an inspirational and enlightening talk. And as you have heard, if you want to get in touch with Malka Shifra, you can. And everybody stay tuned for her book, which, God willing, we'll see very soon on the market. And wow, thank you so much for joining us. I'm Penina Taylor, and if you want to be in touch, you can email me at penina@israelnewstalkradio.com. That's P-E-N-I-N-A at israelnewstalkradio.com. Please remember to go ahead and post a comment below, and we'd love to hear from you. And I look forward to talking with you next week as we take a leap of faith together here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candlelighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
Howdy, this is Rita from League City, Texas, now living in Israel. And though my heart may have belonged to Texas, it now belongs to Israel and all the fantastic show hosts at Israel News Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Michael Solomon from Kiryat Arba, Israel. And why do I love listening to Israel News Talk Radio? Because I love listening to the interesting interviews they do and their news reporting that most other media sources don't cover.
Hey, this is Nicole Eko from Malmo, Sweden. It gets pretty cold here in Sweden, so I love cuddling up with a warm cup of tea while I listen to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, this is Frank Torres from Tennessee. Me and my dog Buster really love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.